Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the name of our Lord. It's good to be with you again. We've just come back from a short break. We've been away and we really missed you, but we're here today and I thank you for the privilege to be able to share God's word with you. Before we get into God's word, I'd like to pray. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you. We realize that your word is yourself. And Lord, as you encourage us today, will you, Holy Spirit, open up our minds and bring transformation and renewal to our lives today as we hear the word. But Father, I do pray that may we not only be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word. May this word that you bring today, Lord, may it change our lives forever as we hear what you are saying to us. May we stir up faith in our hearts to be obedient to what you call us to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to share with you today is about the church and about who we are and where we're going and the testimony of the church. And if we look at the testimony of the early church and the church today, what was the testimony of the early church? Now, the early church, when we examine that over the first 300 years, the church was birthed under Roman occupation, and the Romans were very cruel. And they imposed their regime upon everything. But yet the church, through God's grace and through God's love, brought transformation to the Roman Empire. And eventually the Roman Empire capitulated to Christianity, to follow Christ. And we see that as one of the most powerful forces, that the kingdom of God, the love of God, actually overcame the cruel Roman Empire. But what has happened today, and that's what really concerns me today, is when we look at the church, there are many that are carrying and advancing the kingdom of God. But when we look at that, what does the world actually see when they see the church? They see sometimes a religious structure, and they see a system that they, if they get involved in, they're going to be part of a bunch of rules and regulations. And that's not the truth. We got to have a testimony of Jesus, and that's what I really want to encourage you today, that the church, who we are, the body of Christ, needs to have a testimony of Christ. So I've titled the message today, Commanded to Love. And I think if you hear that and we hear what the Lord is saying to us today, it's something that we have to do. So Commanded to Love. So if you're turning your Bibles, please, and let's turn to John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. And this is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to the disciples, and he's speaking to us as his disciples today. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the Lord continued to encourage this new command in John 15, verse 12. And 17, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And verse 17 of John 15, this is my command, love each other. So the questions I want to ask, and I want to answer these two questions to us, and I put it to you and to myself. Are we excited if we could impact a community, a nation, and nations of the earth? Are we driven to be able to change the world that we live in? And secondly, what is the most damaging attributes in the church that is distracting and destroying the testimony of Jesus? So I want to address that, and I want to bring some solutions that I really believe have come through the Word of God. So firstly, are you excited if we could impact a community and nations and the nations of the earth? And I just do believe is that I think sometimes we capitulate and we don't believe what God has given us can actually change the world. And we need to believe that the love of Jesus can change the world. We saw in the Roman Empire it did. And we live here and the Lord lives within us. But we can't get into a place of comfort. We've got to believe that God's grace can actually still change the world. Now, I want to say to you, God wants people saved. But also, he wants us to change the world. And I do believe that answer that God has to change a world is the love of God. And I want to encourage us with that. So firstly, under that point, love is a new commandment. As we read from John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you. And I do believe this commandment that Jesus gives to us encompasses the Ten Commandments given by Moses. But the simplicity of this commandment makes it one that we can fulfill. You see, this command that the Lord has given us here is not a request. He's not asking us to do it. He's not even suggesting or making it a requirement. He's commanding us. Now remember, he's our commander in chief. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And this is a command that he gives to us. And I want to say, when it comes to a command, the Lord is actually saying to us, you need to obey. And so often, including myself, we walk in disobedience, we don't obey. So what is it to be to command this command and to obey it? We've got to be unselfish. We've got to seek the good of others. We've got to lay down our lives. And when we start to do this, we start to see the fruit of the living God dwelling within us. So the next point of what this actually means, this new commandment, love is a decision. It's a choice. It's not an emotion. I say that again. Love is a decision, a choice, not an emotion. You know, when we look at love, and so often we look at the romantic love and we look at marriage and we look at two people coming together and the emotions and the feelings that come there, and those are real, but eventually it gets to a place where it's a decision to love one another. And feelings are important and emotions are important, but if everything was based upon feelings and emotions, nothing would get done. We have to make decisions. It's an aspect of faith. It's an aspect of believing, and we need to respond to that. So under this decision, there are two responses that we need to have. We need to have a personal response and a corporate response. And I believe the love command that we need to love our God and we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Personally, in Psalm 18, verse 1, the personal response, David says here, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. David made a choice to love God. And you can have a feeling towards God, but I want to say you need to make a choice and you need to purposely tell God that you love him. And out of the inner depths of you, there's got to be an expression of that towards him. You see, when we seek first the kingdom of God, it's about loving God too first. When he becomes first and foremost in all that we do, and it becomes a love relationship. And I want to just say that it's important that your relationship with God is a love relationship. And that needs to be expressed. You need to hear regularly from him that he loves you, but also you need to regularly express that love towards him, how dearly you love him and you adore him, as Amanda encouraged us today through worship and praise. So again, it's a personal response. We've got to love our God and make a decision for that. And then secondly, the corporate response in 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And here in the book of John, we are to love one another. That's the corporate testimony that we need to know. And that new commandment that the Lord said, that they'll know that you belong to me because you love one another. And we have an incredible responsibility to love one another in the church. And I know we've been disjointed at this time through all this lockdown and restrictions. But I want to just say it's a very important thing that we need to lay down our lives and to love one another. And that also means those that are outside the church. That's what the church exists for, those outside. But we've got to learn to love one another. Importantly, John says here, everyone who loves is born of God. And I wanted to say to you, when you give your life to Jesus and the scripture says you become born again, you receive the love of God, not only to know that you are loved, but you have the love of God given to you to go and love others. Now, so often today, where we hear about you, you're one of those born again Christians. I want to just say we're not a religious cult, is what Jesus said. Why? Because the life of God had to come into us and the love of God had to be shared abroad into our hearts. You see, us that have been born again have received the love of God from on high. Romans 5:5 tells us that. And that testimony is the one that we need to have. So we've got to work very hard to not to have a testimony of the flesh, but to have a testimony of the love of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. I'll read it to you. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides in you. And here Peter says that we need to love one another fervently. So that's a passion. There's a passion and a desire that happens in this thing. This is not just a thing that we do. It drives our lives, that if we get this motivation of heaven and we start to love one another fervently, something takes place. And here again, Peter says to us, the incorruptible seed, that's Christ within us. You have the love of God within you, and you can love other people. And then James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Now, this is the royal law. This is the law that comes from the King of Kings, and it's been given to us. And I want to just encourage you here today that no one can hinder you from loving your God and loving one another. There are no hindrances. You know, as much as we live in at the moment and there are restrictions, there's a curfew and you've got to wear masks and you've got to sanitize, which are good. But I wanted to say this law, no one can stop you from fulfilling. It's up to you to go and do that. So if you genuinely purpose to do that, God will fulfill his love commandment in and through you. So we get to secondly, I asked the next question and I would like to answer it. What is the most damaging attributes in the church that is distracting and destroying the testimony of Jesus? And I turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And then verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In verse 3, it's something that you might just glance over and you might not see. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. And I want to suggest to you is in the world that we live in, selfishness, and Jesus even said, deny self. Selfishness is one of our biggest problems. And I wanted to say this selfish ambition is a thing that's hindering the outworking of the fulfilling of the love commandment. See, the self-seeking of our own ways, our own interests, and not the interests of others has become a problem. You know, when we look at the world today, and I'm not saying we don't need to be goal-orientated and we need to achieve things, but personal ambition, in contrary to the will of God, is a problem. And we see that even in our own lives and in my own life, where we seek our will and not the will of our Father, we walk in pride and we don't walk in the humility that God wants us to walk before him. What actually happens? The whole outworking of our lives becomes driven by our personal ambition. We set the goals that we have and we purpose our lives to go and fulfill that. And God's ways become less and less. So I want to just encourage us today is that I'd like us to examine our hearts and including myself, your personal ambition, if it's not linked to the will of God and to the word of God, it needs to become second. And God's ways need to become first. Because when we put him first, the scripture in Matthew 6:33 says, all these things shall be added unto you. And, you know, the world teaches us these ways. And again, I'm saying it's not wrong to have goals, but it needs to be our Father's way and his way first as we go forward. So when we look at our vocations and our businesses and our hobbies and our sports, this thing is a very important thing. We got to be asking, Lord, is it your will or my will? And I want to even say is that when we look at his church today and we look at the world out there today, I wonder in what men are doing and what pastors are doing and churches are doing, is it driven by personal ambition to grow the church or to get people to come in and to do things and to run programs and to have wonderful worship? Is it personal ambition or is it really the will of God? And I want to just say we need to be led by the Spirit of God and then we won't fulfill our purposes. So I want us to really to examine our own hearts and ensure that we don't get into place that selfish ambition, personal ambition gets in the way of what God's will is. And then added to selfish ambition is conceit. And the simplicity of conceit is excessive pride in oneself. Now that's got to be eradicated. It's got to be stamped out. You know, when you cut a tree down that is alien, You can't just cut it off. You've got to actually, if you really want to eradicate it, you've got to dig it out and you've got to get rid of its roots. And I want to just say that is one thing, it's pride. In all our lives, we have to eradicate it. We've got to be ruthless with pride. And you know, only the Holy Spirit can actually reveal to you what pride is in your life. And I want to ask you to work with God, the Holy Spirit, to actually see where are these areas of excessive pride in your own life. And that can be eradicated. Why am I telling you to do that? Because the devil is proud. And that's his nature. And it's not God's nature. God's nature is humble and gentleness and loving. And if you want to see the love of God, and if pride is predominant in your life, you will not see the love of God working through you. Then the next point is we need to be moved with love and compassion. And I go back to a portion of scripture where our Lord worked with love and compassion. And I read from Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, can you make me clean?" Then Jesus, moved with compassion, the scripture says, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And we see there in verse 1, then Jesus moved with compassion. And if we go to the original scriptures there, actually the word compassion is not there, but the word comes from what was within him, his inner being. The divine nature of God within him was released through him. It was this aspect, I really believe, of the love of God. And to move with compassion is something that is linked to the love of God. You know, we can look at people and we can say, we feel for them, but compassion actually moves us. That's an inherent part. That's love in action. Compassion actually moves us to do something with what God has given us to release into other people's lives. So I really do believe God wants us as a people to start to move not only with love, but with his compassion, and to move forward with that. So how do we move with love and compassion? Now, this is not a secret, but I really do believe if we hear what he's saying here, we will change our lives forever. In Psalm 84, verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, which Baca means weeping, they make it a spring, and the rain also covers it with pools. Now, I really under the impression, and I'll read another scripture now, that there's got to be an aspect of sacrifice, an aspect of suffering and weeping to bring about this, because to move into this dimension of God's love, there's got to be a breaking down of self. There's got to be an aspect of suffering, in a sense, not the sense of what Jesus did on the cross, but the aspect for his church and for the people in this world, this aspect that we would lay down our own lives. That's something that Jesus did when he went to the cross, that we do the same thing. And then out of that, the scripture says here, we will make it a spring. The rivers of living water will be poured out. When we do that, God will pour out this rivers of living water, and we'll bring it to a place that will be covered with pools. And we know when there's a heavy rain and the ground gets saturated, there are pools of water that are left behind. That's what God wants to do. God wants to use us to pour out his rain. And we're believing for the latter rain. But how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by wanting to lay down our lives and to express his love and to reach out to the people out there. So who are the people out there that we need to reach? I want to just say it's everyone. It's the rich. It's the poor. It's the widows, the orphans, the destitute, the lonely. Every individual is someone that God loves, and we need to reach them all. That's why the Lord said, love your neighbor. Those are that he puts across your path, and we need to reach them. Those that you work with, those in your family, those that you come across in your shopping exploits, those in your hobbies and in your sports, those are the people that need to become the focus of the love of God. So I just want to encourage us lastly here is this is going to cost you your life to release the love of God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul gets to the end of his life and he puts this scripture out to say how his life was fulfilled. He says here in verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be conformed to his death. Now we all hold on to, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. But the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed in his death, I believe that is something that we want to bring to the maturity of the love of God. Again, I say that the sufferings that Jesus went on the cross, we could never fulfill. That was only for him to be fulfilled. But the sufferings for his church, to lay down our lives and to give ourselves for his purposes, for his church and the outworking of his church on earth, there is a self-sacrifice. There's something that will move away from complacency, and we would move to a place out of our comfort and leisure to sacrifice. Now, I really believe there has been a bit of sacrifice in this COVID time, but there's a reality. God wants us to go deeper as he wants to release his latter rain over us. So in conclusion, I really believe that we all have a decision to make. Will we obey the new commandment? Now, that's for you and you and I to make the decision. Are we going to fulfill that? Or are we just going to continue to live our lives? I know there's much in the scriptures that we need to be doing, but this love of God is an absolute key of going forward. This new commandment to love with his compassion and to operate with that compassion will change the earth and change the places that we live. That's what I'm saying. We will impact this community that God's placed us in here, in this area here, in Johannesburg, in Modderfontein, in Kempton and Edenvale area. We will change it one person at a time when we release the love of God. And I really challenge you, and I really challenge myself, is that this is no longer a time for complacency, and it's no longer a time for us to do our own will, but it's a time for God to have his will done in and through us. The world under the Roman Empire was changed through the love of God. We can change our society. We're not running away to try and make another place better. God has called us to stay here, and we're going to make this place different, not through politics, through the love of God. So I call on you to make a decision today. Will you work with the Lord and his Holy Spirit, and will you release his love as he wants to pour out his love upon many people that surround you, that are your neighbors, that they'll be impacted with the kingdom of God, and he will get all the glory. So I'd like to pray with you, and if that's you today, I'd ask you to join your heart with me, and because I'm committed to this now. I realize that I'm lacking in this area, and I really need to grow in that. And I'd really like all of us to work together. And I really believe as we're going to go forward, we're going to examine this even deeper. How can we do this practically, and we can release the love of God? This is just not such a nice message. This is a commandment that all of us have to fulfill and obey our Lord, what he's commanding us to do. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard the word today. I'll be honest with you, Father, we haven't always understood it. We love what we hear, love one another, and the world will know you by our love one for another. But Lord, we want this to be a reality. We pray for us at church on the way that our love for one another would increase and that it would grow in a practical expression and will be released in all that we do. But then too, Lord, in all our areas of influence, that we will change the world through your love. So Lord, we make ourselves vessels of honor now to be used by you as we willingly sacrifice our lives and count the cost of what it is to change this world through your love. So here we are, Father, we make ourselves available. Use us and send us to impact the world with your love and your compassion. Now in Jesus' name, amen. And if you're out there today and you're on MS Teams or you in on YouTube Live and you don't know the love of God, maybe this is the day that you can reach out and you can come to know the Lord Jesus. And as we've read, to be born again and be born again into God's family and to receive his love, that you will know his love. And if that's you today, would you respond not to me, but to the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that loves you. And he's the one that wants to change you and to transform you and place himself within you by his Holy Spirit. If that's you and you'd like to submit to Jesus, will you say this prayer after me today? Lord Jesus, I willingly submit to you. I ask that you would bring me to a place of knowing you and to know in your love that I can fulfill this new commandment and walk in your ways and walk in understanding of you and bring glory to your name. I give my life to you today. I repent of my ways and my sin and my own doing, that I might know your ways. Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit and enable me to walk in your strength and your power, that I can bring glory to your name now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you today and you've made that decision, you will see at the bottom of the YouTube live, there's a forms, and in the conversations on MS Teams, there'll be a form. Please fill that in, and we'd love to follow up with you and take you further in your walk with Jesus. So God bless you all. May you hear what the Word of God has been said today and do what the Spirit commands us. Thank you, Arthur. Over to you.